Everyone. If you're wondering who they are, that's Skit Guys. We're doing the Easter series on them, so the journey to the cross. So you'll see the whole way this week, you'll see little clips in everything that we're doing. As such, let me know if I'm backing or like if there's noise in it. Sorry, I'm not very good at this. So I wonder this morning, if you close your eyes, I want you to picture standing on a dirt road and this noise happening to you. So the audio guys are going to do noise.
Rabbi, we have traveled many days to see you.
Oh, bless you, Jesus, you have saved me.
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth?
He's a prophet. A great prophet.
A prophet? On a donkey?
Blessings to the healing of the sick! You have come to deliver us! Jesus of
Nazareth,
King of the Jews!
Isaiah said, Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, behold thy king!
Those sounds are a glimpse of what Palm Sunday might have sounded like. On the top of your paper is written the account of actually what Palm Sunday is. What a scene. While it may be the shortest parade in history, it is the most important one. The people were crazy with excitement. They were anticipating something amazing, a new king. We know this by the palm branches. That wasn't just an idea someone had that day. Palm branches were often used to celebrate victory. In King David's time, they honored royalty. The shouting of Hosanna, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In essence, Hosanna means save us, liberate us, and give us favor. Here the crowd calls on God to bring a king to save his people. When we look at the triumphant entry of Christ, we see a crowd of people who almost got it right. They are right to celebrate Jesus as king. He is indeed going to liberate them. However, the passage... reminds us, at first his disciples did not understand. You see, they thought Jesus would liberate the Israelites from Rome. However, that was not God's plan. What he did was much more significant. He liberated God's people from sin and death. In their lack of understanding of what Jesus would do, they also misunderstood what kind of king Jesus was. You see, kings of that day were known for the fear they struck in people's hearts. They were known for destroying anyone who might threaten them. They were known for a number of enemies they had slayed. But that is not the kind of king Jesus is. Revelation tells us Jesus is the King of Kings. That is, there is no king above him. In all actuality, we cannot fully grasp what King Jesus is like by looking closer at some of the words he spoke during that original Holy Week, we can better understand what kind of king Jesus is. This is what I want to explore today with you as I look at this passage. One of the first thoughts that come to mind is that Jesus is a humble king. When you picture a king riding in town, what comes to mind? More than likely, you envision someone in an ornate carriage, possibly decorated and painted with gold. You may envision a king riding a mighty horse, wearing his battle gear and crown, as the horse seems to march down the street. it too, thinking that it might be noble. That's not what King Jesus did. We read, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. A donkey? Have you ever seen someone ride a donkey? If you look on the screen, I want to show you a short video of a donkey that Dom found this week. Hold on. Just hold on. It does not say majestic, cool, or mighty. Cute, maybe, but I would guess that it's hard to ride a donkey and look noble and mighty. Make no mistake, Jesus is mighty. He is not most noble. Oh, sorry, it's still going. I'm not sure if I could follow that at all. We can turn it off now. It keeps going. He keeps smiling at the camera. He definitely wasn't noble or mighty, was it? Make no mistake, but Jesus is mighty. He is most noble. Jesus is worthy of all the praise and honor and glory. However, King Jesus projected humility on that day. You see, I would say that one of Jesus' top values would have been humility. On the last night he was with his followers, Jesus said these words, For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I among you as one who serves. What a picture. Jesus always deserves to be at the head of the table, yet he chose to serve his disciples. This is not commonly associated with strength in the world's view, but that doesn't mean it's a weakness. Our culture emphasizes on pride, self-honor, and fame leads to the misconception of humility as a weakness. The root of pride, self-honor, and seeking fame is a lack of truly knowing who you are. Jesus did not have this problem. He was well aware of who he was. He knew that at any point he could call down angels, put people in their place, and demand loyalty from others. But he didn't. And he doesn't. Jesus is a humble king. We also see Jesus is a king of peace. If you're like me, you want to say that Jesus is a peaceful king. It just rolls off the tongue easier, doesn't it? It sounds better than Jesus is a king of peace. However, Jesus let us know that he was not a peaceful king. He would tell his followers, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be the members of your own household." So we don't really get to say Jesus is a peaceful king. Just as it's easy to say Jesus' humility is weakness, it is easy to say his peace as softness. Let's not make that mistake. Jesus is anything but soft. He was not soft with the religious leaders or the political leaders in the gospel. He was not soft with his disciples at time. Just ask Peter about the time Jesus called him Satan. However, Jesus is a king who provides peace to his followers. Again, during that very holy week, first holy week, on his last night with his disciples, Jesus told them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." Kings don't say, "I give you." Kings usually say, "You give me." As they took taxes, land, and anything else they wanted from people. Kings do not say, do not be afraid. Kings use fear as a tool to get their subjects to obey them. But King Jesus says, I give you peace. He even helps us understand that the peace he gives us is of ultimate value. His peace cannot be found in this world. His peace is not circumstantial. It is an internal and external peace. The Apostle Paul would say that the peace Jesus gives passes all understanding. In a world that has always lacking peace, we can hold fast to the fact that Jesus is a King of peace. Along with peace, we can also see that Jesus is a compassionate King. Have you ever considered the compassion of Jesus? In our selfie-focused society, compassion isn't something we tend to see these days. However, it is so needed. Compassion is the act of feeling or showing sympathy and concern for others. Jesus didn't just show compassion, he was filled with compassion. In the Gospel of Luke's account of the triumphant entry, we read these words. As he approaches Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Do not overlook these words. He wept. The Greek word that is used means that Jesus wept aloud, expressing uncontainable, audible grief. Do not overlook that. We do not generally draw attention to this when we think about or teach about Palm Sunday. Jesus had just finished riding in the King Parade. It seems as if everyone but the religious leaders had joined Team Jesus. But instead of basking in that excitement, Jesus is weeping aloud, expressing uncontrollable grief. Why? He understands what everyone else does not understand. Yes, he is the King of Kings. However, this parade, which looks like a victory celebration, is actually a king riding into battle. He knows that in less than a week, most of these people will turn on him. He knows that only one of those men, called disciples, will be at the foot of the cross as he is dying for them. He knows that the victory of war will come, but only after what seems like defeat to everyone else. Jesus also, through this passage, shows us that he is in this world, not of this world. Jesus would clarify his kingship and kingdom as he spoke with Pilate right before heading to the cross, to the battle for our souls. Pilate then went back into the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did another talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replies. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." I wonder if we might listen to the words of Jesus today and take them to heart. We can stand on the edge of a cliff and shout, "Jesus is my king," yet we still must answer the question Jesus asked Pilate: "Is that your own idea?" or did others talk to you about me? In other words, am I your king? Or are you just saying that because someone else told you to? If Jesus is my king, then I am his subject. That is, I listen to him, I follow him, and I trust him. Over the centuries, much has been done in the name of King Jesus, both good and bad. There has always been those who seek to make the kingdom of Jesus about this world. However, Jesus literally said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He goes on to say, "My kingdom is from another place." Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. This is beneath him. Isaiah 66:1 literally says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." The kingdom of Jesus is not of this world. However, it is in this world. As followers of Jesus, we are citizens of heaven, living on earth. Jesus would pray this for his followers the night before he went to the cross. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Did you catch that? Jesus says we are not of this world. Why? Because we are citizens of heaven. We are subjects to King Jesus. If we are not careful, we'll stop there and do everything we can to escape the world. But don't miss what else Jesus prayed. "My prayer is not that you take them out of this world." He's not calling us out of this world. He's calling us to be in this world, but not of this world. He's asking the Father to protect us from evil, from the evil one, so that we can serve him faithfully while we are in this world. The Apostle Paul writes, "We are Christ's ambassadors." We get to spend our life representing King Jesus in this world. And what does an ambassador do? They don't fight. They don't force people to live like them. And they don't condemn people who have a different citizenship than them. As an ambassador of King Jesus, we have the duty and opportunity to put him on display by choosing to live like him as best we can. We choose to be the humble people of the world, looking for an opportunity to serve rather than being served. We choose to be the peace givers of the world, looking for unity rather than demanding our way. We choose to be the most compassionate people, showing sympathy and concern for others. If you want others to know that Jesus is King, there is no need to find a cliff to shout from. Choosing to live out peace and compassion will be heard much louder. As the band plays this morning, I wonder, do you see yourself as an ambassador of Christ? The Holy Week is a great time to reflect and look at what Christ has done for us. However, I wonder, as we enter Holy Week and the different services that will draw our attention to Jesus and what he did, I wonder, can we look at ourselves? What are we doing with this knowledge that Jesus died on the cross for us? Are you displaying Jesus to the world? And if not, why? We have a fuller picture than what they had in those days. We have the Bible. However, I wonder, do you own your decision to call Jesus your king, or are you just a follower? Holy Week for me is a time to reflect, to do a stock take on my Christian life and values. What is Jesus calling me to do and say? Am I listening and following what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do? Today, I wonder, can you do a stock take can you reflect and honestly say that you are a follower of King Jesus, someone who knows the importance of Holy Week? On the table today, I've placed small containers of sand to remind us that the parade that started Holy Week was dirty and dry. It was dusty. It wasn't lined with gold. It was lined with sand. And a king who knew what was going to come, yet he still did it. So today, on the containers are words that Jesus brought us because he took that final step. He decided that he would do what was needed. Words like life. You're now adopted into Jesus' family. Words like mercy. We have unearned mercy. Words like so today, if you want to come and get a container to remind you of what you received because of this week, then come and get it. Maybe you need to come down and actually ask for prayer, and that's fine. Bring someone down with you, or if you stand here, someone will come and pray for you. But what does Holy Week mean for you? Is it something that you just do because church does it? Or do you own it in your heart? As a song, I ask you to reflect on